Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Register. I hope everyone had a wonderful week. I had a good one. I have a slight cold tonight, but I'm doing all right. Just want to go over some things that we went over last week. Had a lot of questions about baptism in the name of Jesus. We're still on the topic of salvation. A lot of people said we're supposed to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, according to Matthew 28. But also, Jesus said that in his name. So let's look at this and let's study this and go. And the reason I said Jesus said is because when the disciples became apostles on the day of Pentecost, they were no longer students. They were now seasoned, and their eyes had been opened by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit that day. Peter came out, and he started baptizing in the name of Jesus. Okay. Now, according to Mark, the 16th chapter, the 16th verse, it said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Okay. And then again, Christ said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's according to John, 3rd chapter, 5th verse. Amen. All right, before we get started tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you open our eyes and our minds and our hearts that we may receive your word. And let the words I speak not be of my own imagination, but let every word I speak be given by your Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you anoint us with wisdom and revelation knowledge, that we shall receive your word. Receive your word as it is given, not by the interpretation of man, but as it is written. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Okay. So let's get started. Okay. We've talked about repentance, and we talked about the person must be buried in the old man of sin in accordance to Romans, the 6th chapter, 6th verse, which is his past sinful life, lifestyle, must go down in a watery grave of baptism. Therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism, according to Romans, the 6th chapter, 4th verse. Since baptism is a burial with Christ, there should be no question as to the proper mode of water baptism. The original Greek word for baptism is baptizo, which means to dip, plunge, or to immerse. Immersion was the only mode of baptism practice New Testament church, according to Matthew 3rd chapter, 16th verse, and Acts the 8th chapter, verses 36 through 39. Let's turn to Matthew. Let's just look at this real quick. Okay, I'm reading from the English Standard Bible, just for clarification. So I want to go to Matthew, the 3rd chapter, 16th verse. After Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And there came a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him." Now, those of you that like the King James Version, the King James Version says, let me coordinate. I have several Bibles open, so let me coordinate my Bibles, okay? Make sure that all my Bibles are correlated with one another. Okay, good. I had to sync them together. King James Version says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And if we go to the Amplified Bible for more clarification, it just says, "And when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he," meaning John, "saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him." In other words, alighting, landing on Jesus. "And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I delight." All right? So, we read Matthew 3 and 6. And if we read Acts, the 8th chapter, let me go there. Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 36 through 39. Let me do this, okay? According to the English Standard Version, "As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but he went on his way rejoicing." Okay? So, talking about being baptized with Christ. Okay. If we look at the King James Version, it says, "And as they continued along the way, they came to some water, and the eunuch, See, there's water. What is to hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, if you have a conviction, full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah, and accept him as the author of your salvation." Again, according to Scripture, Jesus is the author of our salvation in the kingdom of God. Giving him your obedience, then you may. Giving him your obedience, in other words, adhering to the teachings that Jesus had left with us, the teachings of Jesus. And the eunuch replied, "I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered that the chariot be stopped, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Philip baptized him. Okay. Let's talk about the correct formula for water baptism. Is it according to Matthew, or is it according to Acts 2:38? Okay. So let's go here to Matthew 28th chapter before we trace Matthew. Okay. Just be patient with me. My computer is acting up a little bit. Matthew 28.
Verse 19. All right.
Okay, let's talk about the correct formula of water baptism. We're going to compare Matthew 28, 19 verse to Acts 2:38. Now, for water baptism to be scriptural, it must be administered in the name of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, people were always baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter commanded the Jews on the day of Pentecost to be baptized, everyone, he said, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Samaritans under the authority of Peter were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 8 chapter 16 verse. Peter commanded the Gentiles at Caesarea to be baptized in the name of the Lord, as according to Acts the 10th chapter 48th verse. Okay. The disciples of John the Baptist were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, according to Acts 19, verses 1 through 5. Let's go there for a moment. Acts 19, verse 1 through 5. Okay. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Let's look at this closely. He said he found some disciples. That means he found students. He found students of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, they told him, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism were you baptized with, he asked them. With John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John baptized with the baptism of repentance, people that they should believe in the one who would come after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in other languages and the prophecy. Now, there were about 12 men in all. And let's study this very closely. These are the men that are following the teachings of Jesus. I said these are the men following the teachings of Jesus. I'm talking about Philip. I'm speaking about Peter. Okay? And I'm speaking about Paul. All of them were following the edict that they had been taught in which to baptize anyone who repented and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, in Matthew, we go back to Matthew, the 28th, I'm going to separate my Bible so that it will not sync with this so I can go to other scriptures. Okay. Okay, I'm speaking from the Lexham English Bible. They're there. And I want to unsync it. Okay. So now when I go to the Lexham English Bible, I go to Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 19. All right. Let me start at verse Let me start a verse before that. Okay. It says, and when they saw him, they worshipped. They worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus approached and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now let's stop there and listen to this and think about this. We know that from the book of Genesis, all authority had been given to Adam. God had given Adam all authority in the earth. That's why Adam was able to name all the animals, all the flowers, all the trees, every living growing thing on the earth, Adam named. Okay? And he said, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name. I want you to underline the word name in your Bibles, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the age. Now, Jesus was very specific. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Everything Christ commanded the disciples to do. He said, that is what I want you to do. Nothing on your own, but everything I have commanded you. So, when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, let me unsync this and put in Acts 2:38. Because I want you to have clear understanding. Okay. Peter said, repent and be baptized, each of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and strongly urged them, saying, be saved from this corrupt generation. Now, if we go back to the English Standard Version, all right, and Matthew, I'm sorry, the Lexham English Bible, in Matthew 28, Christ said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the age. Okay? Very interesting. Here Christ, the Messiah, addresses disciples after his crucifixion, and he meets them on the way to Galilee. He meets them, and he tells them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So what does that mean? That means I have all authority. The Father has given me all authority on earth and in heaven and in earth. So when he speaks, he carries the full weight of authority. Now, why would God give him the authority in heaven and in earth if he had no authority, if he was a subordinate to the Father? Why would he give him authority in heaven? I can see on earth, but why give him authority in heaven and yet still be a subordinate to the Father? It doesn't make sense. So let's back up on this. Okay, I want to go. I'm going to. I have my Bible sync. I'm going to unsync my Bible so that I can go to various scriptures at the same time. Okay, and I'm going to go to the King James Version, and I'm also going to look at the Holcomb Christian Standard Bible. I'm going to unsync that. Okay, I want to go to the book of Luke. I want to read that in both the Holcomb Christian Standard Bible. I'm going to go to Luke, first chapter. Okay, not the first chapter, I'm sorry. Second chapter. Okay. I'm sorry, I want to go to the first chapter of Luke. I want to start at, I want to start at the 26th verse. Okay. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman of God is with you. Favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus." First of all, let's recognize that God named, he gave him that name. That name was not given by any human being, by any person, all right? It was not given by anyone. Now, we can cross-reference that when you get a chance. Isaiah 7th chapter, 14th verse. Matthew 1st chapter, 21st verse. 25th and the 25th verse. And Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 21. When Gabriel said he will be yet great. Now, after he said you are to call his name Jesus, he said he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Okay. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One will be born, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Isn't that interesting? First of all, Jesus didn't get his name from any person. He didn't get his name from any person. That name was given to Jesus by God himself. By God himself, he received that name. Okay. Now let's look in the King James Version. The King James Version says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Listen now. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Conceive in thy womb. In other words, the child will be placed in the womb. It would not come through the act of sexual intercourse. But it said this child shall conceive, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, listen, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, first of all, look what Gabriel is saying here. First, Gabriel is saying, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call this son Jesus. You call the son Jesus. And then, in the 35th verse, he said, Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Even before Mary conceived in her womb Jesus, Gabriel pronounced that he shall be called the Son of God, and that he shall be holy. Only God is holy. Only God is holy. And God said he shall not share his glory with anyone. But let's go back to where we were at last week with Isaiah, when we spoke of Isaiah. Let me go back. I believe that's Isaiah. Second chapter. That was first. Patient with me, my computer has a mind of its own tonight. Okay. All right, let me make sure. Okay. I tell you, this is so fascinating when you begin to cross-reference these things. I don't adhere to any denomination. I only adhere to the words, the scripture that says the Bible. And I go by what the Bible says. If I can't believe Scripture or believe what's in the Bible, then I have a problem. And you must remember, we didn't have and still don't have the complete Bible. We still don't have that. And we have to be diligent in our studies. If we go to Isaiah, the 42nd verse, I'm sorry, the 42nd chapter, the 5th verse, God is speaking to the Israelites through the prophet Isaiah, speaking to the Israelites. And he says, I am, this is according to the Lexham English Bible, and he says, I am Yahweh, that is my name, and I do not give my glory to another, nor my praise to the idols. Look, the former things have come, and I declare new things. I announce them to you before they sprout up. Now, God says out of his own mouth, he doesn't share his glory with anyone. He said, I don't share my glory with anyone. You know? But first, before he declares it, he says, I am Yahweh. He says, that is my name. I am Yahweh. That is my name. And I do not give my glory to another, nor my praise to the idols. He said, look, the former things have come. In other words, the things that have been prophesied, spoken about, they have come. You've seen them come true, and I declare new things. And I announce them to you before they sprout up. And he said, I declare new things. I'm telling you about new things, and I'm telling you about them before you even see them come to pass. God, he's awesome. He is so awesome. All right, let me go back up and go where I wanted to go. I'm sorry, I've kept you on. We'll pick this up in a few minutes. Let's take a break. Go get you a cup of coffee, a glass of water, and I'll meet you back here in 1 minute. Okay, I hope you were able to enjoy that little break. And I want to pick up where we left off. Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 13. Excuse me, I take a sip of water. My mouth is very dry tonight. It says, God is speaking to the Israelites. I'm going to read from the Lexham English Bible, as well as, I'm sorry, the Holcomb Christian Standard Bible and the King James Version, for you to compare the two. Isaiah 43rd chapter, verses 10 through 13, says, you are my witnesses, declare Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe in me and understand that I am he. No God was formed before me, and none shall be after me. So now, let's look at that. If God is speaking to his people Israel, and he says, no God was formed before me, that means that God is God, that no one created him. He is God. He is self-contained. And not only that, there was no God created after him. So that kind of makes you question the theory of the Trinity. Because you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Well, you have three gods in one. So if God says there was no God before him and there was none formed after him, How does Jesus come in there? How does he come in there? You know? Let's look at the King James Version and just read up to that point. And said, see what it says. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. That's phenomenal. And it's right here in Scripture. There was no God formed before him, and there will be no God formed after him. But yet and still, we're taught that Jesus is God, and he was formed after. He would have been formed afterwards. You know, to be the Son of God, he would have been formed afterwards. Let's pick up again. It says, reading from the Holcomb Christian Standard Bible, says, I myself am Yahweh. Right after he says, no God was formed before me and none shall be after me, he says, I myself am God, Yahweh. And there is no Savior besides me. Well, how can that be? How can he say there's no Savior besides him when we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior? So he's saying that there's no individual, separate individual, who is your Savior. I am your Savior. I am your Savior. No one else but me. And if we look at King James, Isaiah 43, starting in the 11th verse, it says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So he sees, this is God speaking. This is not an interpretation of man or an imagination of man. This is God speaking to his people. He says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So he's telling us right then and there that he is our Savior. Pick up again, Holcomb Christian Standard Bible. I myself declared and saved, and I proclaim, you know, and there is no strange God among you. I don't care what no one says, there is no strange God among you. There is no one other than myself. I have spoken and I have saved. I have spoken and I have saved you. And I have proclaimed, I have projected, I have to proclaim something. To say something is going to happen. He said, and there is no strange God among you. I am the only God. And you are my witnesses, declares Yahweh. He said, you are my witnesses. Who parted the Red Sea for you to walk across the seabed? Who had the death angel pass by your dwelling? And the firstborn of your homes, of your cattle, were not hurt or suffered death from the death angel because you had the blood on your door. And you are my witnesses, declare Yahweh, and I am God. Indeed, from this day, I am the one, and no one can deliver from my hand. I perform, and who can cancel it? Whatever I call forth, whatever I do, who can cancel it? There's no one greater than I. And let's look at what King James Version says. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed. Now listen to this. I have declared, I have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. In other words, when I was the only God among you, the only God, I declared, I spoke, things into being. I saved you out of the hand of your oppressors and any enemies you may have acquired. And I have showed you with the might of my right hand. I showed you what I was capable of doing. I breathed from my nostrils, and the Red Sea parted. A pillar of fire kept Pharaoh's army from coming after you. The death angel went through the land of Egypt and killed the firstborn of man and cattle. I performed those things, turning water into blood, sending plagues, raining fire down upon the land of Egypt. I have showed you who I am. And I did this when there was no strange God among you. There was no one else that you could look to but to me. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. Before I even created the heavens and the earth, before the day was, before I set time into motion, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. In other words, what I do, what I perform, what I speak, no one can countermand that. He said, I will work, and who shall let it? In other words, I'll do my work, but whose permission do I need to do what I choose to do? I need no one's permission. And then the 14th verse of Isaiah 43 says, and the King James Version, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer. Now, he said earlier that he was our Savior, and now he says he is our Redeemer. So, the Holy One of Israel. So, in the King James Version, in the Holcomb Christian Standard Bible, which is the English Version, in verse 11, he said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. He is proclaiming himself to be the Savior of humankind. And then in verse 14, he says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now he is saying he is our Redeemer. He is the one who redeems us. To be redeemed means to do what? When you are redeemed, you are brought from one state to another. Okay? Let's check that word redeem. Let's get a good definition of that. Redeemer, someone who redeems or buys back. Someone who redeems or buys back is derived from the verb redeem. So now let's look at this. To buy back, how can you buy something back? What did he buy back? He bought us back. Christ died on the cross. He bought us back out of the hands of Satan. And God himself, as he's speaking, he says he is the Redeemer. He also says he is the Deliverer. In verse 13, he says, yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. In other words, once he has redeemed you, brought you back, you know, from the hands of Satan, he has redeemed you and he has delivered you. Listen to what it says. He has purchased you back. Christ purchased us back out of Satan's hand by his death on the cross. And God said, he also said that he is our deliverer. Because he is our deliverer. What does it mean? It means to surrender someone or something to another. It means to be free from harm or evil. Free from harm or evil. Passed down. To deliver. To prevent from committing sins. So he says here in Isaiah 43 that he is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. And he is our Deliverer. Let me look up the definition of Savior and see what it says. Savior says it is a person who rescues you from harm or danger. He rescues you from harm or danger. So let's put all these together. In the chapter of Isaiah 43, God proclaims to the Israelites that he, and only he, is our Savior. There's no one else. He says, and beside me there is no Savior in verse 11. And Savior means someone who rescues you out of harm, from harm and danger. When Christ died on the cross, he rescued us out from harm and danger of Satan, the will of Satan. He delivered us. He delivered us. He delivered us from Satan's power. We were no longer under the power of Satan, according to verse 13 of Isaiah. It says, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. So he delivered us, and Satan cannot take us back. He cannot take us back and deliver and out of the delivering hand of God. So he rescued us from the danger and the harm of Satan. He rescues us from that. He rescued us from being, delivered us from being estranged from him, from God. As it was in the Garden of Eden, in the beginning. And he said, he delivered us. And he said, there's no one that can deliver us out of his hand. Once God has delivered you, once you have repented, once you have received salvation, no one can deliver you out of the hand of God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. I am God. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? I will work. I will do what I want to do. I will be your deliverer. I will be your savior. And there's no one that can do a thing about it. Because I want to know who is greater than I that can give me permission that I can do these things. There is none. And then the beginning of verse 14 says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer. To redeem, to bring back. So when he redeemed us, we were redeemed from the cross. Christ redeemed us from the cross. He brought us back into fellowship with God. He gave us the privilege and opened the door for us to have fellowship with God once again, as Adam had it in the Garden of Eden. In verse 14, King James Version, he says, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the only Holy One of Israel. Because we read before what he said, he would not share his glory. He said he would not share his glory. So if he would not share his glory, so when he says he is the Holy One of Israel, there's only one. There's only one, and that is him. He said he will not share his glory. Verse 14 in the Holcomb Christian Standard Bible, thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon, and I will cause all of them to fall down as fugitives. And the Chaldeans, they're rejoicing on the ships. He said, I'm protecting you. I'm your Redeemer. I'm protecting you. I have brought you back to me, into my bosom. Therefore, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to fear anything. I am protecting you. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. In King James, it says, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, says, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, I have brought down all their nobles. And the Chaldeans who cry is in the ships. In other words, the Chaldeans must have been mighty sailors. And then he says, I am the Lord your Holy One. I'm the Lord your Holy One. This is good. This is good. This is deep. It is good. I am the Lord, your Holy One. So now, 43rd chapter of Isaiah, God has proclaimed that he is our Savior, and there's no one else but him, a Savior. He has proclaimed that he is our Deliverer, and that he is our Redeemer. Okay? So, how can this be? We read in the book of Luke where Gabriel went to Mary, and he said, that holy thing that will be conceived in your womb. Okay. You should call him Jesus. So he is a holy thing. He didn't say he was a baby. He'd be a baby boy. He said, that holy thing thou shalt conceive in your womb. So call him Jesus. He did not receive the name of any man. And look at verse chapter 43 of Isaiah. God called himself Yahweh. He called himself Yahweh. He called himself Savior, Redeemer, and Deliverer. He says he is the creator of Israel, your king. So he called himself many different names. And I propose to you that the name Jesus is the revealed name of God in this dispensation. It is the revealed name of God in humanity. In other words, wrapped in skin. So Jesus was a man. He had the nature of a man. He had flesh and blood. He bled. He cried. He got angry. He hurt. He got cold. And I'm sure he got hot as well. The humanity of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living in him. The Spirit of God living in him, God wrapped in flesh, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Not three separate but equal, but God, just one. I'm not trying to talk about anyone's belief or how that's up to you. God gave us free will. We can believe any way we want to. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. Besides me, there is no Savior. It says, before the day was, before I created the day, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Whatever I do, whatever I choose to do, however I work, no one can change that. Who is greater than me? Who has authority over me? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Your Redeemer. Who can bring you back to me but me? Who can bring you back into fellowship with me but me? I wrap myself in skin in the shape and the form of a man. Spirit of the man was me. I lived in that body. Whew, I'm telling you. This is really something. This is something. Read these scriptures. Don't go by what Pastor Register said. Read these scriptures for yourself. Spoke to the disciples in Matthew 28. He said, baptize with all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In the name. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, those are titles. Those are not names. Those are titles. A noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. But a proper noun is the name of one particular thing. The proper noun is Jesus. Jesus. That is the revealed name of God in this dispensation. That's why on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, when Peter spoke to the people, they said, how can we be saved? He said, you must repent and be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's able to say that. Well, why did Jesus tell them to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? You must remember the Gospels. That is the Old Testament. That's not the New Testament. It is a part of the New Testament to have continuity. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a part of the Old Testament because it occurs before the crucifixion And before the day of Pentecost, day of Pentecost is the beginning of the New Testament. That is the day that the Spirit of God was released back into the world. And it was released back into the world through the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's why they call him the second Adam. He had the authority. He had free will. He could have said, when Satan took him up on the pinnacle and said, "All these kingdoms I give unto you. All these kings." Let's look at that. Let's look at that. Let me, go into Luke. Just be patient with me, please. I think I'm going to look at the New American Standard. Okay, let's go into the book of Luke. Fourth chapter, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by the devil. So we know that this occurred right after his baptism, immediately after his baptism. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, Spirit of God. Into the wilderness, the Spirit of God that was living and dwelling within him. He was led. He went. He didn't go of his own will, but he was led by the Spirit. He had no choice. He had to go into the desert, into the wilderness. He was led. And he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. And said he ate nothing during those days, and when he had ended, he became hungry. See, Satan always comes to you at your lowest point. Look at this. That he became hungry after he fasted for 40 days and nights. And it says, and the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." He knew he was hungry. That's what the first thing he came to is to try to make him eat. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Notice Jesus didn't have anything, didn't say his own words. He didn't come up out of his own imagination. He said, "It is written." That shows you how important the scriptures are. That shows you how important the word of God is. Jesus referred back to the scriptures. He didn't use his own imagination. He went back to the scriptures. "It is written," he said. Not written out of man's imagination, but written by the power of the Holy Spirit through man. And then he said, and he led him up and showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. Talking about Satan. Satan led Christ up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. In other words, in a flash, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain, all these kingdoms, and all the glory. And it has been handed over to me. and I give it to whomever I wish. When Adam chose to sin in the Garden of Eden, all the authority of over the earth he gave to Satan. It was handed over to Satan. I will give you all this domain, all the kingdoms that you see, and its glory, and all its riches, and all its might, I will give to you. For it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written. Again, he goes back to the scriptures. We don't have to try to make up words. Always go back to scripture. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So worship the Lord your God and serve him only. How much do we see entertainers today, people of business and people of power and might? How much do we see and how often do we see them bow down to that which is wrong or wicked just to remain in power? You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then verse 9 says, and he led him, speaking about Satan, Lucifer, and he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. On the pinnacle, the highest point. That's what it means by pinnacle. The highest point of the temple. They said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written. Now this is Satan trying to recite scripture. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest ye strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil finished every temptation, that he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. He didn't depart forever. He departed for a short period of time. In other words, he's coming back. So each of you who go through a lot of trials and tribulations or whatever, because your pastor anointed you or because you prayed or because someone prophesied, always go through trials and tribulations. You will always go through the temptations of Lucifer, the third archangel, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. You will always be tempted by him because remember, his job is to turn you away from God. His God job is to make you disobedient towards the word of God. That was a great victory for Lucifer in the Garden of Eden when Adam chose to sin. He chose to sin. He was not deceived. He chose to sin because he wanted to be like God. The thought of power has ruined many a person and caused many a person to go into hell. you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. First of all, Satan didn't read the scripture correctly. He didn't recite it correctly. But that shows we're not supposed to put God to the test. So these people preach about prosperity and what we're supposed to do is supposed to, and you know, tell God that we're supposed to have this and supposed to have God never promised us anything. Christ said the poor will always be with you. Some of us, just because we love God and we follow God, does not mean, it does not mean that we are promised to be rich or to have riches. It doesn't mean that. Some of us are going to be poor. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be given unto you. So if we seek the kingdom of God, we won't have to beg for riches or for money and for cars and for this or that. We won't have to go through silly gestures and name it and claim it. Name and claim it all you want. Who are you in the eyesight of God? What did he say back in Isaiah? You know, let me go back to Isaiah. He says, yea, before the day was, I am here. He, before the act of creation, God said he existed. He existed. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? So if God decides that you're going to be poor, who's going to change that? Name it and claim it? Lay hands on it? Who's going to do that? God says very clearly in Isaiah, he makes up his own mind. And once his mind is made up, that's it. Ah, but Christ said, we have an intercessor. That if we pray in his name and we believe, we pray. He says that he will see that we get it. Let me go back and find that. Okay, let me go back here. Mark. I think it's 24. Kept you on for the last 45 minutes. I'm going to give you a last break. We will not get to the prayer tonight, but we will finish up this lesson until next week. You have a minute's break. See you in 1 minute. Okay. Hope you had a nice break. We only have 10 minutes left for this segment. Went over a little bit, but it was a good lesson. I hope you enjoyed it. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Are there any questions? You know, the lines are open. You can just speak up. Are there any questions that you may have? Jesus says, whatsoever you ask for, in other words, you pray for, in my name, if you believe you shall have it, you shall receive it. Our faith has so much to do with everything. Our faith, believing that God is able. God is able. I hope you enjoyed tonight's lesson. I enjoy teaching it. I have a cold. My throat is dry. I've been drinking a lot of water. And I'm still getting over the effects of when I scratched the cornea of my eye. So my reading was not quite smooth and my voice is a little raspy, but I hope you were able to learn something from today's lesson. I'm not here to try to change centuries of people's beliefs. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, non-denomination, Pentecostal, Apostolic. I don't care what denomination you belong to. I'm just preaching from the Bible. I owe no man my allegiance. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he is God wrapped in flesh. But I believe that God Almighty, he and he alone, is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Deliverer. I believe that he and he alone is capable of performing such an act. And I believe there are times when the Spirit of God left Christ. And when he left Christ, Christ felt depleted and alone. As long as God, the Spirit of God was with him, he was comforted. Remember, he was made by God. The Spirit of God was with him from the time he was formed in the womb of Mary. When he was baptized, it said the Spirit of God led him into the desert, into the wilderness. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they said his tears were like blood, drops of blood. He felt alone then. The presence of the Lord was not with him. And when he was on the cross, he cried out. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Spirit of God had left him because at that moment Jesus took on all the sins of the world. He took on all the sins of the world, yours, mine. He took on everyone's sin, and God cannot dwell where there is sin. So those of you who believe once saved, always saved, eternal, you sealed eternally in salvation, God does not take his word back. But you can give your salvation away. But God cannot dwell with sin. So if you're out there doing any and everything with anyone and everybody, God cannot dwell in that type of an environment. So I don't know where once saved, always saved came from. But common sense tells me that if I'm saved, that there is a new awakening within me. And I am no longer the old person I was. I have changed my lifestyle. I have changed my mindset. Has been changed from that of the world, secular, to that of holiness, the things of God. I'm not talking about lipstick and powder and getting your hair done. And how long or short your skirts and dresses are. I'm not talking about that. Okay? Holiness is the ways of God. Amen? Let us bow our head. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this hour and a half, this time that I had with your people, to speak about you. Lord, I ask that every word I spoke was not of my own imagination or inclination, but was given by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I pray you have opened ears and open hearts that they receive your word freely. I pray, Lord, that they go back through the scriptures and check the words I have given them this night, that you may open up your word for them individually, not according to my word, not according to my belief, but according to the word of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. We love you. And we ask that you continue to keep us in all your ways. Amen. And amen. Good night. See you next week.
Good night. Shalom.
Shalom.